us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you very much tonight for giving us this privilege to be in your house. We are grateful to you for your protection upon us since the beginning of the week. Thank you for our going out and our coming in. We thank you for students, thank you for workers, business people, thank you for travelers, thank you for your watchful eyes upon each and every one of us. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be here this evening. Lord, we have come to spend this time with you, Lord, to gather faith, encouragement, Lord, strength to continue the journey, to possess our possessions, Lord, to fight the battle harder with the enemy and to defeat him as you have already done for us. We ask, Lord, that to be with us tonight. Lord, strengthen us and take away every hindrance of the enemy out of our way. Lord, we ask forgiveness of our shortcomings and failures. May our sins come under your blood. Thank you for the worship service, the hymns and the choruses. We bless your holy name. Those on their way coming, may you bring them here safely. Bless the exhortation. Bless also the time of prayers. Lord, we commit our pastor again today unto you in U.S. that to be with him and be his strength, his protection. And Lord, order his footsteps and grant all his desires. The rest of your servants that have gone to different places, be with them also. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. God bless you. If you don't mind where we are standing, let's quickly read it. Two scriptures before we sit. Read Hebrews 11 verse 6 and then James chapter 1 from verse 5 to 8. Alright. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. James, the first chapter, from verse 5 to 8. It goes like this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and obedeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not in wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. God bless you. Can please be seated. For the few minutes that we have, we'll just talk briefly on fear of failure. Fear of failure. If I continue with the subject I've been taking, I will not even do any review, talk less of moving forward. So we just encourage ourselves from these scriptures and a couple of quotes from the prophets. When God was leading with the children of Israel, taking them to the promised land, he told them in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 20, from verse 1 to 4, I will read, and also verse 8. I will read quite some scriptures and then a couple of quotes. He said, when thou goest out to battle against thy enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. Verse 8 said, and the officer shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. Well, there is a possibility of transferring unbelief, fear to someone else around you, because each one of us will create atmosphere. That is why in the battles of Israel, those separations are done, so that you will not use your own to cause trouble for the whole camp. And chapter 31st of Deuteronomy, verse 6 and 8. He said, be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth, that doth go with thee, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Verse 8 there said, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. This message of fear not is the message that God has been bringing right from Genesis. Because where there is fear, there is doubt. And faith can never rise. Because faith and fear, they don't dwell in the same house. When one enters, the other one will excuse. When God called Jerubbaal, Gideon, and appeared to him under the oak through the angel, and called him mighty man of valor, that the Lord is with him, that he should go gather the people. He first of all gave him instruction how to destroy the grove and the idol whatsoever in his father's house. He did that by night because he was still afraid himself, because it's the angel that is saying that mighty man of valor. He did not see himself as mighty man of valor, because even where the angel met him, he was there hiding to, because he knew that very soon these people come, we have to take to his heels. But at a point, he has to prove whether it is God that is talking with him or not. And he told God that, look, these things you are telling, I want to know whether it is from God Almighty or from another spirit. Then he brought two texts. The first time, he put a fleece of wool. He said, it should come to pass that this night, this wool will be soaked wet. All the surroundings will be dry. You know, it will take a miracle for that to happen. It that will be Almighty God that can do that. And when the day broke, when he carried the wool so heavy, when he rinsed it, a bowl full of water. So okay, to be sure, tomorrow, let it turn around. Let this wool be dry. The old ground be wet. It was so the next day. He did this one to remove fear from him, because when you are taking a step that you have not taken before, there is always that element of fear in the heart of human being. A fear of failure. The outcome of it. What will come out of this step I want to take? What about if it yield negative? Human being is full of what of if. Then God told him to gather the people, which by the time he blew the trumpet, about 32,000 people were gathered unto him. Then God told him that he should go and preach the same sermon that we read in Deuteronomy 28. So he told the people that if any of you is afraid of this battle we are going to, then quickly turn back from here. Because all of you know that these people have been tormenting us for all these years, and we are going to go and confront them. So if you are not sure, if you are fearful, this is where you have to take your decision. From the scripture, 20,000 or 22,000 went back from there. Out of 32,000. So it remained 10,000. God said these 10,000, they are still too many.
There are still many believers there. So you carry them. Let's say that is the exam for the employment. You bring them to the river. Me, myself, I will conduct the interview. So just watch them drink. The one that is lapping the water, usually have to put those on one side. The one that kneel down and put the head, that does not believe in watch and pray, set those ones also aside. So at the end of the interview, it was only 300 that were picking the water like this and were drinking. Then God told him that you go with this 300. See, naturally, a natural human being, he said, we look at 300 to go and face this multitude. If he does not have confidence in the Almighty God, who have dealt with him when he was alone, trying to prove who is dealing with him, that is why he himself will cancel the battle. He will have cancelled the battle. Say, you know what, we are going to do this all over again. So you people should go another day. I will call for you. Because out of 32,000, God himself was telling him how to reduce the crowd until he came to 300. And 300 is going to go and battle against maybe 200,000 people. A natural human being will say, this thing will not work. Something is wrong somewhere. Maybe another spirit is talking to me. But because he knew who had spoken to him, he was convinced of that. Then, he went with the 300. And you know the outcome of the battle. In fact, out of that 300, not a single person died. He came back with the 300. All of them, they destroyed the enemy. If you look at the scripture, there are so many times in the Bible that the people don't even do anything. When Absalom and David, they were fighting, people of David and Absalom were fighting, the Bible said that they would devour much people than the sword. Which means that tree was falling on the people. Trees were falling on the people. No, who was cutting the tree? They can't see anybody cutting tree. But tree was falling on the people. And majority of the people died through that wood. And the one that God was raining stone from heaven. And so many other styles that God used. But one thing that God expected from the people is that they must know him. They must believe him. They must have confidence in him. And they cannot serve God and mammon. Any mixture of the two will bring everything to zero. Somebody wants to serve God, you have to serve God completely, wholeheartedly, without any mixture. Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. When you bring the two together, you are going to score zero. I don't care what you have. You score zero. You serve God, you serve. The Bible says that God is jealous. It's like somebody's wife is playing allos. You come and part to, I love you. You see the same woman, go and embrace another man, say, I also love you. So, if the first man has principle, you say, well, if that is the person, you just go with the fellow. All right. If you, of course, we, I've just quoted now from Judges chapter 7, the first 7 verses. But I want to read Mark 11, verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, Brother Abraham said that a pastor was preaching about this scripture. And he said the pastor was saying that it was mountain of sin. But Abraham said that, he said, that is one place I've seen that the prophet said I went to school myself. He always called himself illiterate. But that place, he said, I went to school myself. He said Jesus was standing on a particular mountain when he was making this statement. Not just anyhow mountain. He was just talking of a mountain. But if you say, he was telling the people that if you say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart that what you have asked will come to pass, say you have what you have said. And God is A God that when you approach him, like we read in Hebrews 11:6, you must believe first of all that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If you are not convinced of that one, I can tell you that all your hours of prayer is wasted. No, we talk about that we don't pray enough. Oh, that is one aspect. But sometimes if you pray for 5 minutes with faith, you have your request. And you can pray for 20 hours without faith, it's a wasted effort. It doesn't matter the emotion you use in praying. It doesn't matter, you can even fast, join it. No matter what you do, if that faith is not there, that is why that scripture said that he that cometh to God must believe that he exists and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That was why the woman with the issue of blood made up her mind before she left house that this service I am going for, this meeting, this encounter I want to have with him, I don't need plenty. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she doesn't have a promise that if you touch the hem of his garment, you'll be made whole. But she went with that faith that the Bible said that she has tried many physicians and she has spent all her living and there was no improvement. And she made up her mind like that. She was having faith. And Abraham analyzed all the obstacles and the problem of the woman. One, this is a woman that has been bleeding for 12 years. When women have their experience just few days in a month, sometimes they are weak, they are not active. But this is somebody that was having her own continuously for 12 years. So definitely, physically speaking, she will be very, very weak. And worn out, exhausted. But because of the faith that anchor in her heart, she struggled with her last strength. And she's coming to a place that is people are jam-packed. People who are pushing here, shoving here. And she has to come. The Bible says she came in the press. That's the scripture. Is that the scripture? Says she came in the press behind. She forced herself to that place. Like the woman in the meeting of the prophet with the dead baby that came and 300 ushers could not handle her. That other one was also something like that. It's not usher now. It is crowd she was dealing with. And she pressed her way until she got there. Because she has made up her mind that one thing is that I must have access to just touch the hem of his garment. When that happens, I'm not asking for prayers. I'm not asking for anointing of oil. I'm not asking for hands to be laid upon me. But if I just made this touch, I'll be made whole. And she went and it was so. Immediately, her hand touched. Jesus felt it. He got weak. And said, who touched me? Peter said, these are the things that people have been saying. There are so many things they say. They say that you are visible today. Tomorrow they call you another thing. When you see people pressing you here and there, is this question, you are, is it reasonable at this time? You yourself consider it. Is it reasonable? You are asking who touched you here? How many people are touching you here and there? But because Jesus knows what she is talking about, what he's talking about, he said, but virtue has left me. It's not this pushing I'm talking about. But there is somebody that gave a special touch. And the woman knew, Jesus also knew. By the time he looked to see who the person was, when their eyes meet each other, then the woman knew that this person, he's also a prophet, so he knows this thing is clear to him. And he said, well, I'm the one. This is what I've been happening. This is what I made up my mind about. And that's why I've come. That's what I've done, what I've done. And as I did it, as you have your own feeling, I also have my own feeling. I also have my own feeling that the problem is already ended. As I'm talking now, nothing is coming out again. It has stopped. Then Jesus said, go that way. Your faith has made you whole. He said, go in peace. Amen. The prophet said the message expectation preached in 1954 February 28th, be part of paragraph 57. Now I want each one of us now in our hearts to dwell on this thought of expectations. Whatever you expect is usually what you get. You heard about the lady that prayed for the mountain to be moved and got up the next morning, look out the window, said, just as I expected. Still there. Well, that is the reason that she expected it. What she expected was what she got. She was trying to repeat what is in the scripture without faith. And she did not believe what is written in the scripture. She knew that when you say it will not move. And she herself said, just as I expected. Then why are you mocking God? Why are you making the statement to begin with? Why are you saying it? You want to prove that what you say is not true? Somebody else, it will happen when it is needed. In the first recorded message of 1947, a woman that had appendix that was swollen and was busted, and they called the prophet she may die anytime, and the prophet got there and was talking to her, and the woman was saying that I have all faith. Brother Abraham said, you don't have any faith. Brother Abraham was looking beyond the physical something. He said, I have faith. He said, I'm telling you, you don't have faith. So it turned an argument. Then Brother Abraham said, okay, what is this? He said, chandelier. He said, like, how many feet is he from us now? Say, about 15 feet. He said, okay, you cause this chandelier now that is hanging now, let it roll around and then you stop it. The woman said, nobody can do that. Brother Abraham said that somebody can that has faith. Then he asked the woman, do you want to see it done? She said, yes, I want to see it done. Then Brother Abraham did not utter one word. He just set his eyes on the chandelier. While he was looking at the chandelier, he just started moving. There are people that were sitting down there, Brother Abraham said, all of them should turn their back to the wall. They should face the wall. So that he was dealing with the lady. The two of them were looking. And the chandelier was moving like this. And then he stopped. The woman said, that one psychology or spirit. Brother Abraham said, I know you will say that. Now she has committed another sin. She has gone from unbelief now to almost blasphemy. Then the prophet began to talk to her until she repented of what she had said. And then she now accepted that it is God that did it. Because nothing will happen until she believed that it is God that does that. Jesus Christ, with all the power of heaven and earth, having the fullness of the Godhead bodily inside of him, if he comes to anybody with any type of problem, the question we ask him that, do you believe I can do it? When you say yes, he will say, be it unto you according to your faith. So if it is unbelief you have, you will see the result. If you have unbelief and you say I have faith, you will see the result. But it is not him now that will be. You say you have faith. You say you believe. He's not the one now to give you faith at that time. Because if that is what you request, he will give you. When he spoke in the way to the disciples, they say, increase our faith. Because this level that we are, we can't carry out what you are saying. You have to work upon our faith. Amen. Job in his own time. In Job chapter 3, verse 25. He said, for the thing which I greatly feared, greatly, he was afraid that what of if this happens? What of if this happens? Maybe when it was still prospering, maybe when things were blooming, maybe when it was peaceful, and then the thoughts were beginning to come to him, that all these things that I have, what about if all of them just go at once? And the thought was coming and fear built up. Until during the trial now, he said the thing that I was greatly afraid of. Say, for the thing which I greatly fear is come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me. Fear has torment. It will not solve problems. It will just add to your problem. Now the prophet says, okay, this may not be in your notes because I added this later, redemption by power. Paragraph 99 to 101. Just so short lines. Listen, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Oh, I hope you see this. See, here it is. But listen, 13th verse now. That's the prophet was quoting. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. The prophet said, I love that. After Jesus rose from the dead, his words were constantly, fear not. That is what the trouble with the church today is. Scared to death, you are going to make a failure. That is where the wahala is. Somebody is afraid. Most of the time, it's not really that I don't see our problem that we don't pray. Even the ones we pray here in church, even if it is not more than that, we should have more results. Yeah. We should have more results. But the problem is that there is no faith attached to it. Most of the prayers are just bodily exercise without any substance. Some will shake head from now till next year, nothing happens. Faith is not emotion. One of the people that spoke about Brother Bram, they say, we used to scream and shout. He said, but this man, you just pray quietly and you will see things happen. It's not the jumping up that is, that's not faith. If you are emotional, no problem. But that's not faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that is not seen. And the prophet said, I will read now. When Satan has to move, he knows. He's not, he doesn't respect shouting. He does not respect quietness. He doesn't respect emotion. He does not respect any other thing. Only faith is looking for. When he didn't see faith, nothing happens. Peter one day, before he received the Holy Ghost, they were inside the ship. Jesus asked them to go ahead and come and meet them. And he went to the mountain to go and pray. At the third or fourth watch, the scripture said, he saw that they were in trouble. Then he walked on the water to come and meet them. When they saw him afar off a little bit, then the people were afraid. Our problem has doubled. Now we are facing this one now that we are dealing with. Finally, a spirit is coming to come and slay us here. As he was moving further, getting closer, they realized it was him. Then Peter looked at him because they have never seen Jesus walk on water before. Their revelation of him has not reached to that extent. This is the second Adam. And he was walking on the water. Because Abraham said that everything obeyed Adam. And when Adam at that time, no water can block him. Abraham said that Adam can stay here and look at the end of the earth. He can from here, let us say we are facing Australia. You can ask every structure between here and Australia to move apart. And you are looking at Australia. That was what Adam has as power. Be it mantle, be it trees, be it anything. When you ask them to shift apart, all of them will shift. No water disturbing. Little of these people when they were here before, because of the multitude that was following Moses, God used a star, opened the sun. God could have asked them to walk on the water, but these are a bunch of unbelievers. When they got to Jordan, he also said they should carry when their feet enter inside that water, the water will part, and the water parted. If the priests were afraid of putting their leg inside, say, if this water carry on, these other people will run back home. Nothing will happen, they will stay there. But because they know who is talking, then they put their feet, he opened. That same Jordan, when Elijah and Elisha were going, Elijah did not start to pray, say, oh God of heaven and earth, you are the one that says you come and they can, and I've not reached the place. See now, what am I going to do now? He just go there and just take his just touch it and the thing opened. Elisha looked, you know, they said they follow. When he was coming back, of course, the water has closed back. And the mantle he collected when Elijah was going, Just take the matter, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Pam, and then the thing opened. But when Jesus that sent them come, he didn't need to, he was helping the boat because of the disciples. But this time around that he needs to go and meet them, he doesn't need no boat, that I need a speed boat that can quickly rush to them. He came on foot. Because he's the master of everything. When they saw him, then Peter said, but this is the person we used to eat together as them. Master, if you are the one, beat me, come, tell me to come. Jesus said, come. Then he stepped out of the others, they didn't have faith to that extent. Their faith has not, they can't try it. No, but Peter is bold. He likes to speak out his conviction. He likes to say the way he sees it. He said, come. Then Peter stepped out and he was walking on the water. And he was going. Then the space between him and Jesus, look here, look here. Which that was the mistake. If he did not look anyway, if he had just looking only at Jesus, he will get to the place. Immediately he looked and see the way she was coming. Oh! Then fear enter inside. And once fear enter inside, the faith goes down. The word that Jesus said, come, that word had diminished in his heart. Then it just begin to go down. He said, Master, save me and perish. Then Jesus just used hand and bring it. And then they both walk together again to the boat and enter inside. The others did not even make a trial of that at all. Because they are far from that level yet. Sorry. Let me quickly read this now. A personal experience with God. Paragraph 55. A personal experience with God. Paragraph 55 and 56. Now, a big male cow is just part of the story here. Run through the field one day to take my life. There was no way for me to get away from him. And instead of me getting scared, I felt sorry for the animal. And he ran within a few feet of me. He had just killed a colored man down at the box farm about 2 months before that. And I said, your creator is my loving son. And I'm not bothering you. I'm on a mission to go across this field. And now, in the name of our creator, the Lord Jesus, you go over there and lay down under that tree. And that fellow ran within about 5 feet of me and stopped. You see how Satan does? After the word is spoken, he wants to first of all show that he cannot take effect. But he's lying. That is how the same system, the maniac that came to the prophet did. Because after it is spoken, you see, I will see who's sweet, you will see who's sweet, I will fall. Alright. And stop. And he looked so depleted. He looked right and left, turned right around, walked over and lay down under the tree. That's right. I felt sorry for him. I loved him. That's exactly right. Now that sounds crazy, but let me tell you, friend. When St. Paul, the apostle, when the serpent grabbed him through his hand. Now, if he had said, oh man, get me the iodine quick and some serum, it might have hurt him. But he was so charged with the Holy Ghost till he just looked at it. Not one bit scared. Just shook the thing off in the fire and went on. That's right. People get scared. The cancer, when it grabs you, or the doctor said, I'm going to die. That is what makes you die. Oh, you say, oh, the doctor said I'm going to die. That's what makes you die. Say, get out of here. I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus. You have no right at holding me. I mean it from your heart. Watch what happens. You can't impersonate it. You've got to have it. As a hunter in the woods, how many times have I walked face to face with vicious animals? Vicious animals mean that animal that will finish you in seconds. Lion, bear, and the rest of them. Very dangerous animal. Just stand and look at them just for a few minutes. They turn off and walk off the side of the road. That's right. If you are scared, don't you try it. But if you are not scared, go ahead. If you are scared, don't you try to trust the Lord tonight. You better get back down and ask the doctor what he can do for you. But if you are not scared and you love him, just accept him tonight and find out what takes place. He will do it. All right. It's time for prayer. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you don't have that faith, Abraham will say when he's calling prayer life, he said, just stay in your seat. Don't bother to come. What he's saying is that if you come, you are wasting your time. There is that faith that God honors. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And you cannot have that faith with another thing. It has to be one. Anyone that is wavering, that is double-minded, like this, say, don't even expect you to get anything from God. Say, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That is what faith is. Fear of failure is the problem we have. It's fear of failure. It's not. It's good to pray for hours. But if you pray for 5 minutes with faith, you get the result. And you can tell God that nothing between me and the Savior. See my life. Look at my soul. Search me. You know that all that I desire is you. I don't have anything in my heart, whether towards you or towards anybody, that is questionable. My heart is clear. My life is for you on daily basis. But if you are not living for God, you cannot get anything from God. Just maintain your place. But if you are living for God, there are promises that is backing his people. You see these people now coming to attack Israel. They are playing with the head of cobra. That is the apple of God's eyes. Now other, the European Union are already screaming because they know that the rain that Israel is raining in that place, the place is full of total buildings like you have in VR. Most of those buildings are down. They are in ashes. The money they use to build those things is money that maybe Nigeria cannot make that money in 30 years. Just in 3 days, everything has become ashes. Everybody has turned to their because they are raining it from up. And the Netanyahu said that they will regret for life. This is everything that they will regret ever taking it in their life. They say they can never forget it in a hurry. No, when they talk like, you know what they are talking about. Somebody from Gaza said, no place is safe. He said, no place is safe. Because the thing is coming from up. You don't know where it will drop. Sometimes you'll be going, you see the thing land in your front. You say you run back, you see land here also. Nowhere is safe. Because they went to go and touch the apple of God's eyes. And God said that anybody that tried that one, he will see my red path. May the Lord be gracious unto us. Do you believe God at all? Do you know who God is? And do you believe God? Do you know that he's not, he doesn't play with his words? He means what he says. Every word that comes from God's mouth, he really means it. And if you don't take it that serious, you are wasting your time saying, I'm praying. When you want to pray, you pray. When you pray and you have confidence in your prayer, it's not returning back. It's from a bank that there is enough deposit that no matter what you write on your check, remember Abraham said that when somebody becomes a believer, he's given a blank check. You can't finish using it throughout your life journey. And you just fill it with what you have. These are not just vain words. They are correct words that come from the mouth of the Almighty God. You fill it. You are not talking of covetousness. So we just hear that one of said, which is adulating now. It's not that you say you want 1 billion. What do you want to do 1 billion? You get 1 billion now, everybody will become your servant. God says doesn't mean anything to you. Church, there's nothing like church. You know, church is where when people have problems, that's when they come to church. Is that not? Everybody wants solutions. But need is what God promised to supply. When it becomes a need, and you genuinely present it before God, and there is nothing between you and God that will hinder you, Abraham said, I have never sincerely asked God for anything that I have not received from him. He said, except you will tell me why he did not give it to me. He said, I have never, since I become a Christian, and I think I can say that by the grace of God, there is nothing I have need of that I will sincerely present before him that he has never done. That is what we, it's not emotion. It is faith in the God that you are serving. When you believe him, he knows that you believe. When Satan has to move, he knows. But when you are just doing emotional gymnastics, he also knows too. They did it in Acts chapter, what? The seven sons of Sceva. They did it, they got the result. The devil beat them, tear their clothes, run them out naked. But they are casting out somebody that is their master. May the Lord be gracious to us. Shall we bow? Fear of failure. When you have that fear, you can't have faith at the same time. Because they don't go together. Faith is a master of every circumstance. So when ye ask anything in my name, believe you have received it. You say, then shall you have it. Won't you speak to God? Search your heart out. What is in there? Is it fear? Is it doubt? Is it unbelief? Is it double-mindedness? Today, you believe God can do it. Tomorrow, you don't even understand. There's sometimes, well, I don't know whether that area, say, whether God really meant it, this and that. A person like that, you won't get nothing from God. Faith brings courage. It brings assurance. It brings confidence. It drives away doubt. Fear departs. Just present your own request unto God personally, and then ask, ye shall receive. That's what God said. Seek, and ye shall find. He said, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So everyone that asketh, receive it. Those that seek it, find it. And those that knock, it is opened unto them. And God is not partial. If you are a child of God, then you have access to God. You can ask. He will not deny you. But if you don't know whether it's your father or not, then I think it's dangerous at that time because you are not even sure. You don't even know who it is. Since you have believed, are you following God with all your heart or with double mind? Are you very sure of whom you are serving? These are the questions you have to answer within your heart. That will determine the courage and the faith you have to be able to talk to God. If you take him as your father, then look at it from the physical angle. A little son, a little boy, that will go and ask his father a genuine request. The father will give it to him if he has it. The only time the son will be afraid to go to the father is when he has done something the father said don't do. Then he will be afraid. Because you know, if you get to the Father, you might receive some spanking. But if you go to the Father and receive the spanking, after the spanking, and say he's sorry, and ask the Father will say give to him. Talk to God yourself. And if you don't have the courage to ask God for anything, then you ask God for mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. While we want to offer prayer, if someone would like to be remembered in prayer based on the things we have had, just signify by raising up of your hand and believe with all your heart that God is God. He heareth and he answereth prayers. God bless.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this hour, Lord. Thank you for this precious word that has gone forth in simplicity, this glorious gospel of our day. Lord, to cast out devils, to set the captives free, to break every power of darkness. We thank you for that finished work on the cross of Calvary. We thank you very much because your word can never return unto you void. You watch over that word, oh Lord, to perform it. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away unfulfilled. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, this hour, look at hands that are lifted up, not unto man, mine also, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, whatsoever is in the heart of your people, that has made them to raise up their hands unto you. You know the need, you know their desire of their heart. Lord, may you grant it unto them, O Lord, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that the great Holy Spirit will take this word and direct it, O Lord, right into the appropriate heart of God's children, casting away all forms of darkness, of unbelief and fear and doubt, O Lord, and reasoning in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let it be so, Heavenly Father. Thou enemy of righteousness, thou enemy of truth, thou enemy of God's children, in the name of Jesus Christ, we cast you out, evil spirit of unbelief and doubt, out of the house of God's children, in the name of Jesus Christ. Our Father and our God, may there be a revelation, may there be a certainty, oh Lord, may there be an assurance in the hearts of your people that, oh Lord, their hearts have been met, oh Lord our God. Let it be so, Heavenly Father. To God be the glory, Lord. Strengthen your servant and replenish him, Lord. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
As we continue, we have done that tonight, Lord, by your grace. And you've told us that when we have need of anything or we desire anything, as we ask in prayer, we should believe that we have received them. You said, then shall we have them. That faith give to every one of us tonight. Lord, that we have not spoken to the air. We have spoken to the creator of heaven and earth. We have not spoken hypocritically, having something in our heart and our lips saying something else. We have spoken right from our heart. You know our heart, O God of mercy. That which we have need of, sincerely according to your word, is what we have presented before you. May you grant unto us as we have need of, take away doubt, take away unbelief. Take away wavering, O Father. Drive away fear from everyone, dear Master. May we know, O God, that it shall be done, even as the word has said, Lord. Thank you, Eternal Father. May we go home tonight with assurance in our heart, Lord, that all our requests will turn to testimonies. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. Once again, be with your servant and pastor, Lord, in his journey. Keep him safe and secure. Keep him healthy. Keep him strong, Lord. Lord, inspire him all the time that, Lord, he needs to minister. Anoint him, O Father, and give him the strength he has in the Father. May the weather not be contrary to him, Father. Lord, we pray, O God of heaven and earth, Lord, that you will be with the home he has left behind and the assembly, dear Father, and there will not be any evil that will befall anyone. Watch over every family, every brother and sister, little children, watch over them, dear Father. Thank you for safe delivery you granted to our sister. We are so grateful unto you. Lord, we pray, dear Father God, that you strengthen her and the little baby in the name of Jesus Christ. The rest of your daughters, O God, may you grant them safe delivery also. Those that are trusting you for the fruit of the womb, may you visit them, dear Father. Thank you, King of Glory. Blessed be your wonderful name. Lord, as we close the service and return back to our homes, you are the one that brought us here tonight. Take us back home safely. Watch over us, dear Father. We pray you just stop the rain completely until each one of us get back home, dear Father. We are so grateful and we are so thankful. Lord, if we are here by Sunday, by your grace, bring us again for more of your blessings. Thank you, Eternal Father, for hearing and granting our petition. Remember your servant who has gone to Bakatari. May you be with him. May you be his protection. May you be his strength. May his effort not be in vain, dear God. Thank you, righteous Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you for coming to church. The pastor sent greetings to everyone we spoke today. And I'm sure some people will be. It's not my WhatsApp. It's the normal communication. So once you know that we are ahead 5 hours, then you'll be able to know what time they had there. And then if you need to talk to him, you can give him a call. God bless you. Right. Brother Matthew that came on Sunday, when they arrived Benin, he called and he sent his appreciation to the church for the love offering that was given to him. God bless you richly. You're welcome, sir. Shalom, sir. And then we thank the Lord for being with Brother Joseph when he made his journey to Gidi. It was sure a rough journey. He got there Sunday morning, from Saturday morning to Sunday morning. The vehicle he took was not a heavy vehicle, beside the road that was bad. So everything gathered together until, but thank God they arrived there safely and was still able to take the service. Thank the Lord for bringing him back safely. Baba was in Bakatari on Sunday to relieve Brother Omi, was in Abeokuta. We thank the Lord for being with all of them and for bringing them back today. God bless you all. Shall we rise on our feet as we turn to hymn number 31, Standing on His Promises. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, all through eternal ages, let His praise sing. All glory in the highest I will shout and sing. You're standing on the promises of all. I am standing. Thank you.